Okay, you ready? My name is Andreas Jäger. I'm responsible for the open source distribution. So whenever anything is not working, come to me and tell me. Whenever it's working, you want to congratulate somebody for a great 10.2, then go to the open source mailing list and say thanks to everybody. Because it's not one person doing it, but it's one person in the end that has a head hanging there and has to say no. But to do the work, I cannot do it alone. So I'm grateful for all those of you that I know through mailing lists, got to know during the project. It's a fantastic experience for me to work in the open instead of before, like this line 3, which was a complete closed distribution. It's only a selected beta test group of 50 people. I'm glad that we are an open project. I'd like to talk today about 10.3 and what Michael and myself are currently discussing what can be done. Nothing of what I'm saying is something that I can promise that will be in 10.3 at all. As usual, software development, it depends on whether I build it or not, whether we can get a stable life, and whether it works as intended. Whether we can have enough people doing the work. Whenever you have questions to one of my slides, please raise a hand, interrupt me. I want to have an open dialogue with you. Because I'd like to have your feedback that we can make together a distribution that works for all of us. And not just the distribution that's my private distribution that's excellent for me, but nobody can use it. So let me talk about the distribution itself on a high level. So what is that is behind the word distribution? What's in a distribution? In a distribution is, on the one hand, it's a software selection. We need a compiler, we need a Linux kernel, we need a desktop environment. And so we come up with a lot of packages selecting them together. Together with the package selection, it's also what versions do we need in this version. Should we go to Linux kernel version 2.6.20 or 21 or 22? Those kind of choices. What is stable enough? What has the features that we need? When will it be available? Can we go for it? Will it work together with other stuff? Then the next step is filling the gaps. We have to do a lot of work. That stuff works together and that you have a whole distribution and not that one of the pieces missing. As I'm stating later, installation is one of the parts. The distribution doesn't make sense without some way to install it. That's one of the gaps we are filling. And other areas, if you look at the talks that are given here, and also go to other areas, we have a lot of SUSE guys, Nobel guys, doing work doing open source free source development in different areas to fill the gaps, to make this distribution possible. Then it goes into fixing, stabilization, and porting of packages. And if you're interested in more details, directly after this talk presentation, there's a talk about the build service and I think two of them has, might be one tomorrow, so I invite two those. Integrating the stuff. You want to have the software working together. I do not want to have one package here and the other package here and not talking to each other. So when we switch to Network Manager, for example, we always took care that Firefox and Cupid and other applications knew about Network Manager and asked Network Manager, am I online or not? Before that, Firefox was looking itself whether it has that network. Cupid was doing it itself as well. But now we have one instance in the system that can tell us we have network or we don't have network, we are online, we are offline. So we can ask that one instance and have all applications working together. We can do that. What kind of integration is necessary? We have really integrated a nice system. Documentation is something most people might not see as necessary, especially the developers. For using the software, we need lots of documentation. OpenSUSE comes with different manuals, sometimes different projects. and also general open source documentation. There's also now a community-driven documentation project for open source called Lessons for Lizards. There will be a talk tomorrow about that one. And installing packages, installing this distribution is the next one. Then comes system administration and management. That's for me on my desktop perhaps not that important. It goes more into enterprise area and they want to administer a class of machines. Then comes testing, QA, and also certification of hardware and software. We're not doing certification for open source, that's more for the enterprise offerings. We do testing, and you can talk with Sorgi. This evening about 6 o'clock, they will tell you what we're doing is testing. Support is something we are not doing for open source, but we are doing for distribution in general, for the enterprise offerings. Maintenance, security updates, that's also part of building this distribution. So let's look a little bit more details in those areas for open source. We are doing it together as part of the open source community. It's not anymore SUSE doing anything behind closed doors. We currently have in our build system 3,000 plus source packages. Not all of them are on our media. The rest is in the full installation. It's used especially on desktops. It's used on servers. You can land in Germany at least a couple of web servers with open source running. A lot of people use that way, and it's also used as a development platform. That gives a lot of conflicting interests. To make the server users happy, you might annoy the desktop user or the other way around. That's quite a challenge. We're delivering 2 years of security updates. There are 10.2 was released in December 2006 until December 2008. We are releasing updates, security updates whenever they come in. We have our documentation team has written over 1,000 pages of manuals. If you get in a couple of different manuals in different areas, you can print out that can look as PDFs and HTML. The distribution is available complete free via the internet, so you can download our ISOs, you can use our FTP distribution, or you can, especially here in Europe, go into the shop and buy a box product. The box product contains media, it contains one of the printed manuals, one of the manuals printed, and it has installation support for 60 days to install the software. With OpenSUSE, we currently have IC86 and x86-64 as distributions in the box. You can install on those hardware. There's PowerPC ISOs that you find as well on the FTP server. And for Itanium, we only have the factory distribution. The motto of the open source world of Linus himself is release early, release often. I'm not going to say that with the distribution itself, we are using less now, instead of going from a half-year cycle to roughly eight months. But on the other hand, we are showing directly what we have to get all the feedback. So we have our factory trees that are zoomed out daily, whatever enough packages that have been through the complete distribution to show what's in. We send all the messages about changes and bits that we are going to a mailing list. Open source commit. Factory might be broken at times. We are not testing factory. On the other hand, so many people internally are using factory as well that whenever factory is broken, we notice directly and stabilize it again. For all discussions about factory, you can use the OpenSUSE factory mailing list and use that also for general discussions on the next distribution. So whenever I have a fancy idea or somebody has one, go to that mailing list and discuss it. And let's see what we can do together. So this is a packaging mailing list, it's another mailing list that's important because having a single package is how to move forward there. We're doing every 2 weeks alphas, and every second of those is a public one. The release process costs us a little bit of time and it doesn't make sense. Don't buy that much to release every 2 weeks, especially since Amazon's single service is a factory distribution. So the internal ones are called Alpha 0 plus, Alpha 1 plus, and whatever. And the Alpha 1 is the external one, and so as you see. Those are public releases, and we do QA for them, especially. We do also for the internal Alphas QA to see that everything works properly. And gives the feedback to all developers that the work they have done is not only tested in their own environment, but also in their environment in different sets scenarios. Once we're coming closer to release, I call out a tool chain freeze and a base system freeze. So we say everything below that, we're not going to change. We're not going to go from one GCC to the other. We're not going from, we're not increasing the major version of Unity or whatever to keep a stable environment and move forward there. We have betas. We have two betas with 10.2. For 2 weeks out of each, we're going with 10.3. We are adding another beta, that means 6 weeks of beta time. And after those 6 weeks, we have 1 week of release candidate time. And I've released so far, so the first release candidate and the last one is, we call it the God Master. Are there any questions so far on that one? Otherwise, I'll move on to go into more details. Okay. Oh, first another slide, sorry. As mentioned, if you learned the talk before, the integration in the build services for us is quite important. We really like to move forward from a distribution that's released every so often, and people needing to update because they just want one package, they need to update the whole distribution. Instead of keeping your distribution stable, and just get that one package from the open source build service. And then stay with the distribution for 2 years unless you really want to have a complete new system. So to do that, to make it easier, we'd like to do a nicer, more comfortable integration of external repositories. Currently you need to know which repositories are there in the build service or which out there, Pacman or whatever. And then you need to add them manually at one place. Black and just support automatically. We have some ideas about that. And I think we should soon we'll share them on the main issues and discuss them. Yaskin has created a model called CD Creator that they are working on, and that one should empower you to build your own distribution. So I talked this morning with the GNUstep guys. If they would come up with their GNUstep add-on media at one point of time, they could do that easily and then distribute here for everybody. We want to build a live DVD in the build service with configurable scripts so that each of you can do your own scripts. The KDE guys might do at one point the KDE 4 live DVD based on OpenSUSE as an example, without us internally doing anything. Just automatically. And then moving from packages maintained by people outside of SUSE Novell, moving them into the code distribution so we can really work together. Currently, that's a manual process. So, with Firefox, I had to copy that manually into the distribution in November. And I don't want to have that manual, it should be done in automatic, in a comfortable way. Okay. Now going to the details. I'd like to ask you a little bit, looking back at how Linux evolved, there were a lot of gray areas or white areas where stuff just didn't work. We have, over the years, we spent a lot of time, not only us at OpenSUSE, everybody in the free open source community, to getting those white areas smaller and smaller. There were one point when laptops didn't work at all, You couldn't suspend to this, you couldn't suspend to one. You couldn't plug in anything, wireless wouldn't work. It's working fine now. There might be other areas that we should do a similar effort and concentrate or work on. I'd like to have your feedback, whether you have anything in mind, what really holds you, what makes you use Windows again or macOS. We'll say, I really want to do that, but I can't. So not doing it. Any comments there?
I think, obviously, the DVD playing thing.
Yeah. That's, I think, so number one.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe that one thing could be the for managing more and more devices. You know, when you release a distribution, maybe on the same year, will appear new devices on the market.
Oh, hardware support for new devices that are not out at the point of time we release something.
Then I know most, some of them, they depend on kernel modules. Is it a sort of ALSA sound drivers or so?
Sure.
Which will you force to make a kernel upgrade, if is it possible? It should be possible just to allow to upgrade only the ALSA zone, you know, this maybe is too complex to allow that.
It's quite difficult.
Because instead of
just
one driver, you have to update the whole kernel.
For doing that, let me just say, tell you all that. We have the kernel module packages. Then you can afterwards, if you have kernel modules, build them separately and add some additional to the kernel. So if a new ALSA comes out, I'm sure it works with ALSA, also in general the idea is it should work with ALSA. Build new ALSA modules as a KMP package, and I think there's a talk about
this
as well. Yeah, so make them available as extra packages, and then you have additional packages with just the ALSA packages used for your hardware. That's working now, thanks. So talk about the kernel module packages at 6 o'clock this afternoon. So if you're interested in that one. Anything else? Otherwise, if you have something, just send me an email and let's look what can be done. I'd like to have a little bit of feedback where to move for the future and what areas.
And an area where improvement were useful, at least to me and I'm sure to others too, is we replaced a Windows file server at our company with an OpenSUSE 10.2 and using Samba, and the whole setup, it was for me not that much a problem, but you have to dig into the configuration files pretty much yourself, and the whole about even the documentation, it's spread around and it's not that easy to find.
So what you're asking for is easy Samba configuration.
Yes, that simple case of the company file server and domain controller. That's not really handled at all at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. But each time I install SUSE, I have problems with the video driver. So it could be useful, instead of using the open source version, that you have the option directly to do an installation to download the one. That's from PDA.
It will be in some ways, but my preferred solution would be to get open source drivers that work fine.
Doesn't work for my computer.
Yes, so I know, but
And then you have to go to the command line prompt, and you have to copy back the old configuration file. That was used during installation, and then you have to download. It's a lot of
It's a little bit more comfortable than that. It should be more comfortable than that.
Yeah.
In general, we will not add them automatically because those are closed source drivers.
Just give the option to download during installation. Don't put it in the package. Give the option to download during installation, so you don't have trouble downloading your scheme
anymore. I know exactly what you mean. But for political, legal reasons, with a kernel license, with the kernel developers, and I do understand their concerns, that the ATL and media drivers are violating their license, I'm not going to do much.
Is it not possible that you just go to the website of PDR during the installation?
You can do that manually if you had the repository as an add-on and then source. But I'm not configuring that to make it fully automatic, even with one click.
Would be automating repos or make it easier to add repos? I think it has been discussed already on the mailing list to make that easier with just a click or.
Because a lot of people who use
SUSE are beginners and they just.
What I said two weeks ago.
The repos. It would be nice if the repos would be added at the start of the installation before the software select.
So what I'm looking at right now is adding of the repositories is at the start of the installation, adding or asking for external repositories. So how to do that exactly? That's something where I'm currently writing down a paper to give the big picture. Check that with our IS guys whether that's possible, and then we'll discuss it on the mailing list, whether we are going in the right direction. And if you tell me on the mailing list, that's right, then we will go that way. Not sure whether you do it for them, then let's do something else. But I want to come up with one proposal instead of moving forward. I think we agree there. Okay, the last part, then I have to move on.
Maybe it's already planned, but when you sometimes forced to use a dual boot configuration, and for example, you use OpenSUSE and Windows, it would be nice to have two features. One is that you can write on NTFS. Mm-hmm. If I recall, the driver has been released 1 or 2 weeks ago. And another one, which would be very easy, CDs, is when you are forced to reinstall your Windows and you can't get into Linux anymore because Windows is rather greedy and overrides the master. So that's maybe the CD, DVD checks and see there's a Linux already installed. Is it okay if I just patch the MBR?
So the second point, so rewriting the MBR should be easy doable. The question is just how to make it available. And the other one, right, to NTFS, that's something I will look at definitely. Okay.
Can we just
stop here, otherwise we'll not continue, finish the talk in time.
Okay.
Please come to me after the talk. I will be outside at the booth and talk with me and let's discuss. So some of the challenges that I'm looking at for 10.3 is installation. We have far too many packages. We do have 10 browsers, but it's sometimes even as bad. We have different desktop environments. We have a lot of duplicated stuff. Whenever I remove some package, somebody else will come up. I don't need it. I need it. You cannot remove it. And others will come up. I need this one as well, and this one as well, even if there's something similar. So how to make everybody happy to get all the software? One solution is the build service. Other stuff is in the distribution. Just looking at the size, we have 3,000 source RPMs. Those lead to 4,200 i586 RPMs, which have a size of 4.5 gigabytes in the factory right now. And additionally, nearly 1,000 low architecture packages leading to 2.2 gigabytes. So that's just those packages are 6, nearly 7 gigabytes. I'm not going to deliver such a large DVD, so I have to do something else. So the idea that came up just here, just before when I asked, that setup, one thing is have one CD installation, it's just a minimum base system, nothing else. You really need that one CD to install, everybody needs it, and then on top, set up the network automatically, and add the full open source FTP tree, directly at the beginning that you have access to all the packages and not only to the packages on the media. Alternatively, for those that do not have a broadband access, make media available. And do the same network setup as well, so that they can download less packages. The second problem is with localization. I'm really glad about the many languages that we are supporting now and the volunteer translators that are translating open source packages, the packages that we are developing internally. I'm also glad about the different projects like Mozilla, Firefox, OpenOffice that come with their own translations. But translations can be rather huge. It's not only translation files, it's dictionaries, it's fonts, a lot of different stuff. And for those of you installing in English, you don't want a lot of pieces that you don't need. Even if installing just in one language, you might get all the Chinese fonts, Chinese input methods, and whatever. And to put everything on the media is difficult, is a size problem. So what to do, how to solve that? I don't want to distribute 20 CDs in the worst case. So going back to the one CD install I had before, something doesn't fit here. On my 5 CDs that I have had there on the slide before, I want to say put only the most spoken languages or tier 1 languages, French, Italian, Spanish, German, English, Brazilian, Portuguese, on those. And with the network having it available at installation time, everything can be downloaded via the internet. The other stuff, the other idea is what we had with 10.2 was that add-on media with extra language packages. The question is whether to do one or if I need more than one CD, go for European languages add-on, Asian languages add-on, whatever. If anybody of you has some great ideas there, and then tell me afterwards, so let's discuss it on the mailing list.
How big is the extra language CD at this moment?
I think it's 500 megabytes.
Still have some room left at this moment to have it on one CD. So
there's still one room left. I look at OpenOffice package, and currently OpenOffice with all languages is one CD. And nothing else goes on that CD. That's a lot.
Will it be possible to download the whole system? Because I'm a teacher, and if I have to install all those things on all those computers, it's not workable. It's very easy with one DVD, which all the software is on it, and you have nowadays 8.5 gigabytes on one DVD. And the internet is too slow to put it on a classroom with 10, 15, 30 computers. That's not possible. Yeah. I think it's my problem then. Even, especially with Dutch language, it isn't the main language, so yeah. We got a problem there. If somebody asks me something, I can demonstrate it right away. If I'm on the internet, it's not possible.
Okay, yeah. On the one hand, you could set up a local FTP server, and asking for was for a more automatic way to only get that stuff that you need.
If I can async it on one computer, that's my problem is solved. That should be possible.
Yep.
Or would it be possible, because I understand that a lot of people don't have a dual layer burner, to have one CD, because at this moment we are at 7 CDs.
Yeah.
To have 2 DVDs.
It's an option.
Where you can put a lot more, so then you have 2 DVDs of 4.2.
It's all an option. I just don't know what's the best way is to make most of people happy. That's what we need to figure out. That's why I want to start. Get all of us start thinking about whether somebody has a great idea. The problem is just one DVD. I only need for Dutch He might only need 100 megabyte of such 4 gigabyte DVD. Should he download everything or not?
Maybe the process of making a CD or DVD customizing.
That's part of this process, yes.
If that's automatically possible, then someone can just make a CD for his own with just the things he needs on his 100 PCs.
That's definitely something that we are looking at. So that all media from the one hand, but also general, making custom-made CDs. So make your own distribution, just trust to know about it, and your development packages that should be possible.
Last line, which is Adam CDs, is referring to languages or not?
The last line, add-on CDs?
Yeah. Because yeah. It could be possible to have an add-on CD for each language, so you have.
We could have more, but I don't want to have for 50 languages 50 CDs.
Yes, but you don't know the only one. It's easier for you or for me because I will
not
download
the CD. Yes, yes, but then we'll have
to host 50 CDs. I have to master 50 CDs, and I have to get 50 CDs to QA for testing.
But in well,
that's why I said European languages and so on.
Except for the Taiwan languages, it could be done by the community, in fact.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing you can delegate, maybe.
It might be that I make public one so as a community
you can provide the tools to build them.
Yes, definitely.
But then, I belong to Catalan community, and then, for example, I know there's a lot of people translating Catalan, and they do the checking. I know.
Okay. Thanks, should be possible to say add-on CD, but let's forget that. Okay?
Because I think someone from Holland won check Catalan files. And I will learn the
date. Okay. Let me continue. I still have some slides. Faster booting. So I'm going at some specific improvements we are looking at. Faster booting is something a lot of people ask for. But currently, I don't have a great idea how to do it. We have parallel boot already since some time. It helps on some systems. Reading bug reports, I noticed that some systems did boot very slow with 10.2 because the disk driver was too slow. We had a bug in the disk driver. That's why their systems were slow. Bad, but it's not part of the boot process. But in general, the question is how can we make that faster? I would like to do more discussions maybe with about ideas. So, on the one thing what I'm looking at is check that all running services should really run. We might have some extra ones that we should not sell at all. That's an easy way. We should check each single service that's not a bottleneck. ZMD is a bottleneck. So we have to take care of that one. But the other stuff is change the boot concept. Ubuntu is doing something differently. I think the Vendora guys are looking at stuff. So there are some ideas out. I'm not sure when they will be ready and how much they will help. That's something you have to look at. What we did already is faster runtime linking, so faster application setup. This using ADH side equals both. That should help, especially with big applications like Google Office. We're doing security enhancements as usual. Timo will tell you tomorrow about fingerprint sensor support that you could log in with just your login instead of giving the password, swipe your finger over the fingerprint sensor and be logged in with your. If you're using one of the tools, then one of those that is supported. We're building the complete distribution now with F-Stack Protector to protect against stack overruns. We have NUC support, was in 10.2 already in there, it's now by default. The automatic password dialog comes up whenever you put in an encrypted. An encrypted USB stick, so it asks me for the password, and then it can be opened. Let's not do that. We are further working on our armor. I'd like to split the profiles instead of having one big profile package into the packages and then working together on that. Let me just explain the highlights. The slides will be available. I'm running out of time, sorry. Package management needs to be speed up. Daniel will talk about that on Sunday. We will not install ZMD by default anymore, and we are working on a global version of the OpenSUSE update that integrates nicely with that as well. Laptop support is something we have over the last years worked a lot of, so here a lot of talks. Pavel is here, we'll talk about suspended disk and RAM. If one of your laptops is not working with suspended disk or suspended RAM, then come tomorrow to the workshop after that talk and talk with the guys. It's not anymore a Linux problem, it's most definitely a problem of the combination of your hardware with a driver with something else, with BIOS. But it's not a Linux problem anymore. So we've done great work there. Docking station, media bay support, some models are already supported, more models will be supported. We use less power. There's also tomorrow talk about synchronization with mobile devices, with a mobile phone, and so on. Something quite important for what we're looking at right now is UMTS support. The German standard card that you get for Vodafone and so on, that works with Linux nowadays. We have also some of the Linux cards working. Greg is working on some more. But what's missing right now is the integration part, so that you can use Network Manager to drive your UMTS via wireless LAN, and switch between them, and to set apps that's in a comfortable way. So we'll work on that one. For all the packages that are coming, whether it's GNOME, or KDE, we'll take whatever is available and consider it stable. And KDE might not fall. I know that it's stable at some point in time, we'll take it, but we are targeting to do it for KDE for adoption. So, let me just quickly jump to that one. The major plan features that I'm looking at right now from a high level is the RunCD network installation with the addition of repositories at the beginning of the installation, UMTS support, package management improvements, OpenOffice Office, OpenXML support. Michael Meeks will talk about that tomorrow, and especially better integration with OpenSUSE Build Service. So I guess I have 2 minutes for questions. But otherwise, please ask me afterwards.
The one CD network, is that purely the network CD, like you can already download now, or is that a complete running system?
I'm thinking about a complete running system with the minimal installation pattern that we have talked about with the OpenSUSE Factory mailing list, so that you can use it either for minimal installation without network or on your local system. You have to burn a CD, so if you have broadband PSL, then you can download as well 600 megabytes instead of 60 and have everything on it, what you need for a minimal installation, and do those from the CD and download the rest from the internet. So that's the idea behind it. Further questions?
That when I started KDE, that Beatles started them, and then my system was really slow, and I was really ended following the update of Beatles. So maybe there might also be an idea to choose it at installation if you want to use Beatles at all.
Okay, I thought
that
was done. You know that you can, as individual user, disable Beatles?
Yeah, I know.
And I'll talk with you guys, okay? Further comments? Otherwise, talk with me outside afterwards. And let's now give the build service team a chance to present the build service. I guess we have 1 minute to take over.